I've talked to people before who have said, well, if I walked into that church, the roof would fall in. Or if I came to church, you know, there's just no hope for me. You can't find a sinner that's so low that the mercy of God can't reach to where they are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what wickedness or what sin or evil that you've been involved in. You can be brought up out of that miry clay. You can be lifted up out of that sin and can be cleansed and made righteous and holy because of the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're headed into the Christmas season, and so much happens during the holiday season that we don't want to miss out on what the Word of God says about Jesus and why He came. Why He came. And we're going to be, for the next few Sundays, talking about that very topic. Jesus came and why He came. Praise God for the wonderful message of truth. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture this morning. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, and then we're going to go all the way back in the Old Testament to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 John 3 and 8 first. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. For this reason, Jesus came, He was manifested, He came and took on the form of flesh. He came to Bethlehem in the flesh, was manifested. That's what the writer here is talking about. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. That's one of the reasons that Jesus came into this world that we're going to talk about today. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This verse is the first prophecy in the Scripture looking forward to the day that Jesus was going to come and be manifested. This is the first one, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the first prophecy concerning Jesus the Messiah to come many, many generations later, when Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, Jesus came because He knew that mankind would need, above everything else, would need forgiveness. He knew that we would need redemption, and that there was no other way that men could be saved unless He came. Revelation 13 and 8, it tells us that He was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So that just means that God, in His knowledge, He knew even before the world was shaped and created, long before man was ever created, He knew that we would need a Savior. And the Lamb of God was slain in the mind, in the heart of God. The Lamb of God was slain before the world was ever created. Praise God. So the whole idea of redemption was born in the heart of God. And you and I today can be saved and can understand what it means to be saved. And we understand that Jesus provided the way of salvation before we were ever born and before this world was ever created. Hallelujah. What an amazing thought. Even before the world was created, God knew that we was going to need a Savior and we were going to need forgiveness. So when you're a reader of the Bible, it really doesn't matter where you read in the Scripture. You're gonna see woven all throughout the Scripture the birth and the life, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're gonna see that from Genesis to Revelation. All throughout the Scripture, you're gonna see it. Someone said that if you cut the Bible anywhere, it bleeds. Because the blood of Jesus Christ was the message from the Old Testament, in the lambs that were slain and the sacrifices that were offered. It was all a looking forward to the day when Jesus, the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, was going to die for your sin and for my sin. Amen. You can look at the Word of God from the Old Testament, and all through the Old Testament, there is the looking forward to the day that Jesus came. Why do we make a big deal about Christmas? Well, I think Christians, above all, should make a big deal about Christmas because it's the pivotal event in all of history, all of the Old Testament, all pointing to that day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and his life and death and resurrection. And then the New Testament is all a looking back to that wonderful day when Jesus came into this world that men might be saved. So I guess you could say, like Spurgeon, that there's this scarlet thread that weaves all through the Scripture that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So wherever you read the Bible, that's what you're going to read. If you're looking to Jesus, you're going to see him in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and all through the historical books and the poetry books and all through the minor prophets and the major prophets. You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus and all that he's done that men could be saved. You remember those men that were sad? They thought that all hope was gone, that Jesus had died on the cross and it was all over. Those men on the road to Emmaus were downcast and sad. And Jesus came alongside them, walking with them on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus said, "Oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He's just saying, have you forgotten all that the prophets said? All the prophecies concerning Jesus, the Messiah, and his death and resurrection, it's not over. It's not over. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. He started back in Genesis. He started going through Genesis and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He went through all of those writings of Moses and all of the prophets and expounded to them on the road to Emmaus concerning himself. Because when you look at the Scripture, you will see Jesus. You will see that Jesus came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of blood in the Old Testament. A lot of blood. If you just read about the dedication of Solomon's temple, there were multiplied thousands of animals that were sacrificed at the dedication of the temple, reminding Israel, a reminder to all of us, that his blood was shed. This is a bloody religion that we have. And Jesus gave his own life and shed his own blood. Spurgeon also said, preachers that avoid the message of the blood, here's what he said about them. Never go to hear them. Never go to hear them. He said, a ministry without the blood is lifeless. It is a dead ministry that is no good to anyone. Amen. It's the truth. It may cause some people to back up and say, oh, all that blood that was shed, all of that shedding of blood, but Jesus came to do a mighty work of redemption. And John, in 1 John chapter 3, the text that we read to you today, it says that for this purpose he was manifested. For this purpose he came to Bethlehem. For this purpose he came in the form of a little baby and came and veiled in human flesh. For this purpose he came. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. To do a work, to do what no man could ever do, and to bring about the redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Genesis 1 and 2, everything is just really wonderful. Creation, the creation of man, and God setting everything in order in his creation. But then Genesis chapter 3 is this terrible chapter where man fell into sin and Satan is the tempter that tempts them, and they fall prey to the temptation of the enemy and they sin. And so chapter 3 is the most horrible day. It's the darkest day in all of human history when men fell into sin, and it appears to be a hopeless circumstance with men under the control and the power of the enemy in their sin. But Genesis 3 and 15 is the answer to that. It's the answer, because the Lord describes an event that's going to take place in hundreds of years later, when Jesus was going to come into Bethlehem in the form of a little baby, in the form of flesh. And he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. It just means conflict. The Old Testament is a story of the conflict of man struggling with their flesh, man struggling with their sin, man's failures and their struggles and their victories back and forth. He said, there's going to be a continuing enmity, a conflict. The word there literally means a struggle or even a feud. It's going to be an ongoing feud throughout all of mankind. And that's the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, you read about Satan's temptations and his dealings with mankind, and man struggling to overcome the temptation of the enemy. You know, there's a real devil. There is a real devil that we deal with. And I'm so thankful that Satan, even though he has power and he is the god of this world, when you become a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus has paid for a way. He has provided a way where you can be victorious over the enemy, over your soul. He said, I'm going to put in between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's what he's describing when he describes what the Messiah was going to do. Isaiah 14 gives us a little insight into Satan and who he was. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The word Lucifer just means brightness or shining star, morning star. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, and he says this five times, Satan says, I will. He asserts his will against the will of God five times in this passage. I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. If thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Satan, you know, he asserts himself. In Genesis 1 and 2, everything was, up to that point, it was all a world of God's will being the dominating force in the world. And then Satan opposes him and rises up against him and rebels against the Most High God. And then falls from heaven, falls to the earth, becomes the God of this world, along with one third of the heavenly host. Can you imagine that Satan is able to deceive one third of all the angels of heaven to follow after him? So we should never ever think that we're any match for the enemy. We are not. We cannot. We will fail if we attempt in our own power, in our own strength. Ephesians 6 and 12, part of our Sunday school today. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities or rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, all describing the hierarchy of Satan's plan to dominate the world and to destroy mankind. And when he came in to tempt Adam and Eve, he wanted all of us, by his sin, he wanted all of mankind to be destroyed by sin. And by one man's sin, we are all born into this world with our sinful nature. And there is no hope for us except through the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. You can't be saved. You can't deal with the devil on your own. You can't just make up your mind to be a better person and to live a clean, righteous life. You cannot do that. All of the amount of will that you can conjure up to try to do what's right, you're going to fail. And Jesus knew you would fail. And God established the plan whereby men could be saved. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. He came to destroy the works of the devil. So even though they're in Genesis chapter 3, it's the darkest day in human history. Genesis 3 and 15, verse 15 introduces the concept of the Messiah that's going to come, the Savior that's going to come and redeem, and all men can look to him and be saved. Praise God. Glory to God for that wonderful truth. So even though the world is in a conflict, amen, man in their sin, they're in this constant struggle. They want to do right, but they can't. They want to live right, but they can't. They want to try to be the best person that they can be. Impossible. Can't do it. Except for the grace of God. Except for the forgiveness of God. Except for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to go the way of the enemy of your soul. You're going to follow after that desire of the flesh. You'll go after your own sins. You see, we live in a world, and according to 1 John chapter 5, this world is lying in wickedness. It's lying, that phrase there, it really means lying in the lap of the enemy, lying in the lap of wickedness. That's the world. That's the predicament that we are in this world today without Jesus. We're under the control, the power, and the dominion of this enemy. And I know that there's a lot of things going on in our world today, but I want you to know, people that are not born again, people that are not following Jesus Christ and serving the Lord, they're lying in the hands of the enemy. They're under the dominion and the control of the enemy. And that's the world we live in right now. All of the world without Jesus. And you know, it's interesting that Jesus is removed, and even God is removed. I've heard a lot of people talking about, we're thankful. We're just so thankful. But there's never the object of thankfulness mentioned. The world, they just say, we're thankful. And maybe they do have a thankful heart to a certain degree. But our thankfulness is because of him. It's because of what he has done. We are thankful because we know that every good gift comes down from him. He's the one that's provided for us everything that we have, and our lives and our futures and everything are in the hands of the Lord. So when we as Christians have a season of thanksgiving, it's because we know that he is the one that has provided all these good things for us. Amen. In this country of America, we're thankful because our forefathers gave honor to God. They gave honor to God. Those early founders were people who gave their gratitude and appreciation to God. And even the establishing of the Thanksgiving holiday was established to give thanks to God, our Creator, for all that he has done. Amen. This world is lying in the lap of the enemy. This world is under the control and the dominion of the enemy. So everything that's being pumped into our world through media, through all different sources in our world today, you can be sure that the enemy's behind all of that. Why would we be surprised that the media is so full of lies? Because they're of their father, the devil. If they don't know the Lord, if they're not following the Lord, then it's all going to be propaganda that is coming straight from the pits of hell. But we stand on the promises of God today. And throughout all the Old Testament, story after story after story reveals the conflict, and it reveals the provision that has been made through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Every sacrifice that was offered, everything, every promise that was given to our fathers in the Old Testament, all of it was looking forward to the day when Jesus was going to step on the scene. Praise God. So the New Testament provides for us the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, who is the Savior. And according to the Word of God, that deals the final blow to the head of Satan. That's what gives to us the ultimate victory. Praise God. That Satan is defeated and we are victorious through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. We all have an adversary, the devil. He's working, he's tempting, he's lying to you. He's doing everything to suck you into the philosophies and the things of this world. Don't allow him to do it, because God has provided for us an ultimate victory. And he has defeated the enemy of our soul. And Christmas season should be a reminder to us that Jesus came for that very reason. Amen. Amen. Don't go through this season without your family, without talking to your family about what Jesus came to do and how that he has provided deliverance and salvation for all mankind. And he's coming to this world to defeat the works of the devil and all that he is trying to do to bring destruction and hopelessness into this world. Thank God that there is hope through Jesus. Thank God that we have hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. Some here in this service today, you might be struggling and you're in the conflict of your life, the battle of your life, because the enemy is continuing to come against you with all kinds of temptation and trouble and problems and sickness and all types of different things that he's attacking you with. But I want you to be encouraged today to the promise of God's word that Jesus came for that very purpose, to destroy once and for all the works of the devil. Amen. To put an end to the works of the devil. You don't have to live your life under the dominion and the control of the enemy. You can live in faith. You can live in victory. You can live above all of the things of this world because of God's grace and his mercy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, thank you for what you have done on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message of this Christmas season. Lord, help us to not get distracted from it, but Lord, to focus upon everything that you have done that we might be saved. I pray, Lord, for some in this meeting today that may not know you, that may not be born again, they may not be saved, they haven't experienced this wonderful victory that is ours because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just pray for any that are in this meeting today, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and help them to see their need to be truly born again, to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.